So the scripture that I would like to speak out of today is about unity, and it's from the Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, 13 and 14. Bear with one another and forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So I wanted to give you a little taste of the praise worship from Rwanda. A friend of mine, some of you know, Stephen Matchett, saw a church sign that says, "What if you woke up this morning and only had the things that you thanked God for yesterday? What if you woke up this morning and only had the things that you thanked God for yesterday?" And we've heard a lot of thanks today, this morning, for who we are and what this, but we got to do that. Prayer, the heart of prayer is gratitude. Now in Rwanda, those folks go over the top with gratitude. Some of you were at the presentation I gave and saw the images of the dancing and the singing and the praise music. Well, there's a piece that they do that I didn't talk about, which I want you to, I want to try out on you. And you know, we are somewhat Euro-American centric, I have noticed. That is the dominant culture, by the way, on to plus and minus. So let's see if we can kind of rise out of that culture a little bit. I endeavor in my life to do that, as you can see. I am a little more passionate than your quiet person. I love passion and I love praise, so here's how it goes. What you do, when I say amen, you say hallelujah. Simple, right? Can you do that? Okay, so I'm going to say amen, and you're going to just repeat back hallelujah. Okay, ready? Amen.
Hallelujah!
Whoa. Brian, where have you been?
Chicago.
Chicago. They know how to do this in Chicago. So actually it goes like this. So you're reading along or preaching, you go, amen. You go, amen. You go,
hallelujah.
But then you go, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's it. But you go, hallelujah. That's it. It's like you got to get the rhythm of it now, okay? So let's try it one more time, all right? Then we can all go home because we've praised, right? Okay, here you go. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo! All right. God, you hear that? Okay, now it's our turn. We have to listen, I think. Right? After praise, one listens. So I'm going to settle a little bit because I just kind of got you all going. I want to find another tone here for what I might say. I'm going to sit down for a bit and then I'll come back in the message that is about, hopefully I'll be listening with you. words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable, dear God. Of those three pieces in my call to visit among friends in California, the middle one about unity is what emerged for what I might share with you today. And the passage out of Colossians, particularly verse 14, and beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Preceding that is forgiveness. We're living in very challenging times. We're living in times where the headline on the Time magazine says, "Is truth dead?" And here I am looking to see how truth is prospering among you, among us. There's such war and violence as we heard in the prayers of petition, such heartbreak, such trauma upon trauma, generation upon generation. And oh God, I know you hear our cries. I know you're present with us. I grew up in California, Orange Grove Meeting. I joined Santa Cruz Meeting. I was a rock and roll musician in the 1970s. The last band I played in was a band that played love songs to God. I was the token Christian. There were Hindus and Buddhists, but there I was, and I was accepted. One cannot make one's life as a musician very easily in this culture. You either make it or you sell out, or you have a big ego or you have great talent. I had none of those, so I had to augment my income. I worked at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk for about 7 years as a ride operator. And I love people. I'm an extrovert, if you hadn't noticed. And people who came to that place, Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, everybody has a good time. Well, not everybody. People come there, and I saw all kinds of people. The sea of humanity was my taking in. And a friend of mine recently, just last week, was reflecting, you know, that time at the boardwalk probably prepared you for being connected to people in a way that would not might have happened. I had several experiences during those days as I came to my openness to be transformed by the love of Christ in my late teenage years, committing myself to the Quaker path, to opening my heart to what it is that you're calling me to, God. And in those times at the boardwalk and other parts of my life, I'd have this epiphany that repeats itself over and over. In fact, happened yesterday again. I would be in a crowd or just walking down a street, and I would see a person. Could be anybody. Short, tall, wide, thin, whatever color, place. And all of a sudden, like scales fell from my eyes, and I could see the heart of everyone, the heart of all humanity, wrapped up in that one person. The sense of soul, the sense of connectedness that I felt, and it was not just all of everything. Mostly I felt suffering. It's as if the whole world's suffering was embodied in that one person. And I took that in. And that suffering began to weigh in my soul. And weigh in my soul. To the point that I can't carry this anymore. And Jesus spoke and said, give it over. Give it over. Give it to me. Just a closer walk. Who with me my burdens bear? None but thee. And that's the work of the Christed One. And we are all part of that flow of the Christed One. And in that, I saw everything. I was given open to that, that deep suffering is also that place of joy, that place where we can give thanks, where we can praise God at every moment. And it's in that place that is unity, that it is in that place where we are all loved, every one of us, all creatures, all creation, in that spot. The opening part of the book of Colossians talks about Christ in all creation. Christ at the beginning, before anything was, the Logos that brought the whole of us into the world. The Word that was made flesh. The Word that is not utterable in its human form. The Word that we can only experience in that deep sense of silent waiting, that deep sense of openness to that Spirit of God in our midst. Early on in my life, I thought that, well, there is possibility that this Friends movement, this Quaker movement, could be revitalized in our time. When I was told by my meeting that my junior membership was about to expire, I was in my early 20s, and that you had to make a decision whether I was going to become a member or not. Here was something that I hadn't asked for, that was being taken away from me, that I thought I was. So I looked around and said, membership, what's that? What am I joining? Who are these people? The first 50 to 70 years, we didn't know who were the members. We didn't know who were the members on paper. We knew who were the members by the way we lived our lives. We didn't know who were the members by some list. We knew the members by they were out preaching the word, they were in jail, they were helping the people who were out in this movement. Where is that movement today? Where is that fire? So I looked back to the early Friends, obviously, to see what was going on, and they looked back to the early Christians, primitive Christianity revived. Where is that? I had a great hope, and I decided that membership was an unfortunate organizational necessity and that I just might as well join. Seek first God's kingdom, which is that other song we sang today. So I had great hope. I was an earnest young man, and I am an earnest old man now. Things don't change somewhat. I have tried to keep up with that earnestness, and I encourage all of you. I call it age-appropriate earnestness. Get on to it, okay? Come on. Yet, as I looked to what my life could be, I was clear call to ministry about unity among friends. I thought it might be institutional unity then, and I've learned a lot since then. So I was instrumental in Young Friends of North America. Minga and I moved to Greensboro, North Carolina to be the forerunners for the 1985 World Gathering of Young Friends, the first of its kind in many generations. And there was a spark there. If you want to go back and read the 1985 epistle from that gathering, it really does name the condition of the Religious Society Friends as we are today. In all our brokenness, in all our wonderfulness as we are, in all our potential, but also just to see that we are pretty stuck at various places. I had great hopes out of that gathering. That was 1985. Then I went to the 1987 Friends United meeting, where the Richmond Declaration of Faith was one of our ancient doctrines, the biblical definition of Quakerism. Unless you reaffirm the Richmond Declaration of Faith, which is ancient language, was not created as a creed, but it was coming out that way. Unless you do that, you are not part of this organization. Unless you can declare that you are a Christian in these terms, then you can be part of us. I can remember sitting at lunch just sobbing, just saying it's over. Here it was, 2 years ago I had this great vision and it was going to happen and didn't. Fast forward, 1993, the birth of Western Association of Friends, which you are a part of. 1993, numbers of us were locked in to a retreat, a board retreat, of actually a whole Friends United meeting retreat, to consider whether we should realign. Stephen Mayne, who is the General Secretary of Friends United meeting, has proposed that the Liberals go to Friends General Conference and the Evangelicals go to the Evangelical Friends Alliance, it was called then, and never the twain shall meet and just be done with it. Now, it was a personnel issue, really. Here is the head of an organization saying, let's dissolve it. Well, let's find some new leadership. Not everybody saw it that way. There are many of the, probably the more conservative friends who felt, the evangelicals who wanted nothing to do with those of us who were marked as unbelievers. Whoever us was, them, us, them, you, this familiar to everybody, us, them? I mean, we don't see that much around here. now, yes, we do. So the epiphany of that gathering was a young pastor at the time, Jim LaShanna, some of you may remember him. He was from Rose Drive Friends Church, which is one of the Quaker megachurches in Southern California, now part of Evangelical Friends Church Southwest, which is the name they adopted. It was then called California Yearly Meeting. So he stands up and says, there's two ways we could go. He quoted scripture. One is in 1 Corinthians 7, where Jesus, well, actually Paul says, I say this, not the Lord, there's that parenthesis, that if you have a husband and wife living together and one of them's not a believer, stay with them because the one that's a believer will save the one that's not a believer. So that's one choice. The other choice is from 2 Corinthians, say, do not be yoked with unbelievers. And so Jim LaShanna says, I'm going with that one. Okay. That was kind of the gauntlet came down. On the far other side, Chuck Fager. People know Chuck Fager. He's a rabble-rouser, kind of a journalist of sorts, who was representing Baltimore Yearly Meeting at the time. And he stood up and started this tirade, which I don't remember exactly what it is. I just remember this vivid, personally attacking Jim LaShanna. So the clerk, Sarah Wilson, from North Carolina Yearly Meeting, stands up she's a powerful mom. She says, Chuck, sit down. Chuck sat down, which Chuck doesn't usually sit down. There was a chasm. A chasm opened up there. And the vision I had was the middle walking out. Friends United Meeting still exists today. California Yearly Meeting did realign. This church, Whittier, I believe Bakersfield, said we want to stay with the middle. We're part of that middle walking out. We found new leadership in Johann Maurer. We've got leadership Colin Saxton now. It's an incredible range of trying to keep this middle together. That's a positive. Yet, as you know, today, Northwest Yearly Meeting is separating, Indiana Yearly Meeting separated, and North Carolina Yearly Meeting are separating. So, boom, boom, boom. It's not about institutional unity. And guess what the issue is? There's presenting issues. I think we all know about same-sex marriage. That's a presenting issue. The issue is spiritual authority. How do we know what is true? And what is the casualty of today? Truth. If I say it enough times, it's going to be true, right? I'll say it again. If I say it enough times, it's going to be true. If I say it enough times, it is true. It's true, right? It's true. This is our media. This is the life we've been given. How do we then reclaim? How do we go back to that place of going to my experience, your experience that you can have in your own way about what it is essential about us as humans? What is essential about us as spiritual beings? What it is essential about this church, the angel of this church, that can be a witness to us reaching out across differences, us being able to love our enemy. Who said that? Our teacher, our Lord, said, love our enemy. It doesn't mean we move back from it. I see one of you has love your neighbor, no exceptions. We need to go back to that place. And where do we get there? We need to work on ourselves. We need to examine our own hypocrisies, the places where we fall short, and God's light will shine, does shine in our hearts and shows us the way, but also shows us our woundedness, shows us the places where when you come to meeting and you're in meeting, you've got your issues, and then you start working out your issues in the meeting community. Some of those issues are trauma stuff that you have not really taken into account. So the question about who is the other, we have made others in this congregation. We have made people into people that we don't really want to be with, all congregations. And if we don't start here, we can't go out there. We need to do both, obviously. But this is what the chapter in Colossians is about. It's about how do we conduct ourselves. And we conduct ourselves from that place of deep love, from that place of being so enveloped in God's light, in the Christed anointing that allows us to see the suffering and joy in all humanity, all creation. And I praise you, God. Amen.